question, what are you worth? But the topic of what are you worth is huge. It seemed like the more I dove into it, the more I was having trouble figuring out how to narrow it down. And so I'm going to attempt to look at our worth through God's eyes. And I guess when I thought of this, I had the mental picture of there's some dirt roads around here. Don't know how many of you traveled them, but some of the older dirt roads, from years and years of being graded and dirt washing down them, they get a deep ditch on the sides. And they keep grading them, and they keep getting a deeper ditch, and the center gets higher. And so the dirt road has a really high crown in the center. And the picture came to my mind of some of those dirt roads, when it gets wet, they're red clay, and it is really slick. Like, you can literally slide off the center of the road into the ditch, and you didn't do anything wrong. I feel like that's kind of where we're at sometimes with this picture of our worth. There's a ditch on one side that you can slip into where you have a false pride or a conceited view of your worth, where you elevate your worth higher than what you should. And on the other side of the ditch is this ditch where you can fall into where you have a low self-esteem, and where you put yourself down, where you don't see the value in yourself for various reasons. And that's the side I'm going to focus on. Both of them can be a problem. It's hard to stay in the center. But today we're going to look at the side of struggling with a low self-esteem or a low view of your self-worth. I would venture to guess that this is probably something that everybody at some point in time in their life has a question. You know, what is my value? What do I bring to the equation, so to speak? What is my purpose? Really, what is my worth? You can feel doubtful of really being a benefit or really being an asset to the church, to your community, to your family, whatever it might be. And I think in every stage of life, you can find yourself here. I think I've heard people in their later years of life where they really feel like they don't have much of a purpose anymore. You know, why am I still alive? Why doesn't God just take me home? Well, because he's not done with you yet. And younger children, you know, really struggle sometimes. Like, what am I even here for? Well, God has a purpose and he has a plan. And I hope we can look at that through the thoughts God has given me. And I hope that we can see promises in his word where we can be affirmed and where we can be reminded that God has a purpose for us. I was having a conversation with someone a while back that I think the person was feeling somewhat defeated spiritually and emotionally. And they had the thought where they were questioning what is their purpose in life. And that's one thing that I guess my heart goes out to people that have a struggle with. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's something that you just can't overcome or you're really struggling to overcome. And through that, you feel defeated. You feel like, what is your purpose? Why does God even want to forgive me? And it can be a really dangerous place when you let yourself go there and stay there. Even though I think we all have those thoughts at times, it is important to remember the value that God places in us. And it's important to remind Satan that we are valuable. We are loved when he tries to throw those thoughts at us. I also think this is something that we struggle with a lot more today due to the avenue and the pressure of social media. It's very prevalent when you look at social media to see either the very positive side of people or the very negative things that our people's outlook. But most of the time, you look at, say, an Instagram feed, you're going to see this picture-perfect house or this picture-perfect family. There's maybe a cake that you ladies looked at on Pinterest that looks perfect. Well, what you didn't see was maybe over in the countertop in the corner, there's a flop that's in pieces that's getting ready to take to the trash because it didn't turn out. Or the perfect looking house might have a pile of stuff in the corner where it's just not in the picture. The picture perfect family that's always taking these awesome lavish vacations might not show you the images of the family when they're at home and dad's always at work because he doesn't have time. So there's all these things that you can get this partial picture into these people's lives, but I would call it an imperfect picture because it's not complete. And you get the picture of what they want you to see most times, which is going to be the good aspects of things, but you don't see all of it. You don't see the reality. And when you look around, most times you're going to focus on people's successes, their strengths, and it can cause you to ask questions. You know, why can't I be like that person? Why can't I have victory in this area like that person? Why can't I get up in front of a crowd and speak like this other person? Why can't I have an assurance of salvation like other people do? Why can't I have a talent that's more easily recognizable? The questions can go on and on. There's no end. But there is a reason for this inferior feeling that we get. And most of the time, it's because we are comparing ourselves to other people. We are basing our worth on what we see in other people. And we feel like we're coming up short. We feel like we're falling short and we're not living up to how good they do. And they're most likely not trying to mislead us. It's not something you do on purpose, but we're all humans. We're looking for approval from other people, so we tend to put our best foot forward. We try to at least portray like we have it all together and that we aren't really facing major struggles. So when we look at others and we see that their life looks mostly perfect from our perspective, and we begin to feel like less than we are meant to be, it's something that can really bog us down, and it can actually lead you into depression if you're not careful. So that's just a little rundown of my thinking when I put this all together. I would say that with all that being said, it is good to reflect on your life, though. Every so often, if you ask yourself the questions that make you think about where you are in life, are you serving God to your fullest capacity? Where is my focus? What is my attitude? And I think all that can bring back into our minds what God has done for us personally. It can make us more thankful, more grateful for God's gift of mercy and grace and love that He's extended to each one of us. And when we see what He did for us personally, it can make us quicker. It can make us more quickly reach out and show others His love because of our gratitude. It's good to remind us of how God sees our worth, of what value He has placed in us. And so much so that He gave His Son Jesus for our forgiveness. I was looking into a little bit of history, and there's a famous painting. I'm sure all of you have heard of it. It's called the Mona Lisa. This is a painting from the early 1500s by Leonardo da Vinci. And from my research, I came up with an estimated value for the original painting of around $800 million. And that's a really rough estimate. But around $800 million, and it is quite possibly the most popular painting in the world. I also looked online. You can find copies of this painting for anywhere from $200 to $1,000. That's a big discrepancy. So why can you find those copies so cheap? Because they're a copy. They're a reproduction. They're not the original. The original signed piece has a whole different value than the copy. They're reproductions. They don't have the artist's signature on them, and that artist's signature places a whole nother value on that piece of art. There's only one original, and it's basically considered to be priceless. That's exactly what you and I are. We're priceless. We are God's masterpiece. There's only one you, there's only one me, and we can laugh and say that's a good thing. We don't need any more of me around or you around. We're all unique. God created us that way. God created us with a special plan and a special purpose. He knew us before we even came into existence, and we are valued treasures to God. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Psalms chapter 139. I'd like to read the first 18 verses, and we'll flip around and find some other scriptures too. Starting out in Psalms 139, verse 1, and reading through verse 18. It says, O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me. Even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you. And when I was made in a secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book, before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of the sand. I'm going to stop there. But the focus I want to look at is, he says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That's verse 14. God did not simply make a blob and say that was good. He intricately designed our bodies, and every piece in our bodies has a purpose. He made us fearfully and wonderfully, and it also says in Exodus, we are made in His image, in His likeness. So God did not simply throw us together. He gave us purpose. He has a plan for each one of us. It says that before we say a word, God knows it. He also knows our strengths and He knows our weaknesses. And He also knows we're going to make mistakes at times. He made us humans. But that doesn't change the fact that we were still made in God's image. We were still fearfully and wonderfully made. And He desires a relationship with us so much that even though we have shortcomings and we fail, He's made a way for us to be called His very own children. If you turn back to Galatians chapter 3, I'll read a few verses there. It's going to be Galatians 3, verse 26 through 29. It says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are now God's children through Jesus, through God's plan of salvation. And God went to great lengths to provide that plan, to redeem us from the power and the grip of sin. Turn over to Romans chapter 5. Atlee read some of these verses in his devotions, but I'm going to read the first 11 verses of Romans chapter 5. It says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." While we can't go back and undo our past mistakes, we do not need to be defined by things in our past either. Because of Jesus' death and resurrection, we can enjoy the freedom that we have from the victory over those shortcomings and failures. I think this is a point of attack that Satan really tries to get at us. He'll throw these things in our minds. He'll dig up things in our past. He brings doubts, accusations, whatever he can to try to make us believe that we're worthless, that we're a failure. And this is when it's so important to go back and look at our value through God's eyes. This is when we have to remember that we're not basing our value on people's scale of value. It's based on God's fair scale of value through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that totally changes the playing field. Don't believe the lies that Satan throws at you. The Bible is full of examples of how much God cares for us. If you look in Matthew chapter 10, there's a few verses there I want to read. Matthew 10, verse 29 through 31. Jesus is speaking here. He says, Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. I read somewhere that I believe it's 8 out of 10 sparrows actually don't survive. So if 10 sparrows are born, maybe 1 or 2 would actually survive. Yet they are so valuable that our Father sees everyone that fails or that falls. Now, that's just a sparrow. How much more valuable are we to our Heavenly Father? So take comfort in that. You know, back in these times, they sold for a very small price, basically a penny. And they were almost an insignificant part of creation, but yet God saw everyone. He still sees everyone that falls. He has every hair on our head numbered. for some of us, maybe that's not a big deal. But literally, he knows everything about us down to the smallest detail. That's how much he cares about us. That's how much he loves us. He cares so much that there's nothing that is overlooked in our lives. I had the thought too, speaking of our bodies, how many times do we look at ourselves and we see the imperfections? We might have a nose that's a little bit crooked, or maybe we think our feet are too big, or our ears stick out funny. Maybe we're nearsighted, or we have a receding hairline. Maybe we're shorter than most people, or quite possibly we're so tall we bump our heads on the doorways. It can make you question, maybe, just maybe, God made a mistake on you. Maybe he didn't quite get everything right. But no, don't believe that. God doesn't make mistakes. We just need to completely trust him. And trust in the fact that he created you the way you are for a reason, for a purpose. And he has a plan for you. Sometimes we just get distracted. We lose sight of where our focus should be. We lose sight of where our value is. It's easy to get caught up in what other people are valuing and do the same for ourselves. And we can place our value in our job, in the house that we own, in the cars that we drive, the size of our bank account, in our appearance, whatever talents and abilities that we have. A lot of people in the general society would place their value on how many Instagram followers they have, or Facebook friends, or YouTube subscriptions they have. It's silly little things that we place our value on, that we try to live up to. But that's how we as humans are. We try to earn people's acceptance. We long to be accepted. We long to be thought well of. And we want people to think highly of us. We don't really want to let anyone down. We try hard not to do that. And when we do, we feel like a failure. We feel like we feel pretty poorly about ourselves. And many times other people that see that are not going to hold that against us. But we think they do, and we have trouble actually simply forgiving ourselves. And I can speak from experience on this. I'm a perfectionist by nature, and honestly, I can beat myself up probably twice as much as I would anyone else for making a mistake. That's something I'm trying to work through, is forgiving myself. Knowing that I'm not going to be perfect. It doesn't hurt to strive for perfection, but when you don't quite hit the mark, there's no need in constantly beating yourself up. You get up and you try again. I had to think of the example came to my mind. I love baseball, and a very good baseball player actually fails at least 70% of the time when it comes to their at-bats when they're trying to get a hit. A good average in baseball is a 300 average, which means they're getting a hit 30% of the time. That's not real good. But yet that kind of a performance will earn them a huge contract. In that perspective, it's very good. So if they were to focus on the 70% that they didn't succeed, they would go nowhere. Their failure percentage would go way higher. So it's not about whether or not we fail. It's not whether or not we fall. We're going to. But we have to forget about that, move on, ask God for his forgiveness, and try to do better, and trust that he will see us through. And I said earlier, you know, a lot of times we tend to focus on other people's strengths, their successes, their good traits, And yet when we look at ourselves, how many times do we focus on what's wrong with ourselves? What we can be extra critical when we look in the mirror. And I really think it's time to stop focusing and measuring ourselves against other people. Because when we do that, we constantly feel like we're not living up to their level. It's time to focus more on how God views us. We have a flawed viewpoint when we look at other people's lives because we can't see the entire picture. All we can see is what's in front of us. God sees the entire picture. He sees our value totally different. We tend to undervalue each other. I thought of a couple examples in the Bible. Look at Joseph. His brothers sold him for a very small amount. 20 shekels is what the Bible says. Little did they know that years later, God was going to use him in a mighty way to save many, many people, including themselves, from a famine. Look at Jesus. He was sold and betrayed by Judas for 30 pieces of silver. Basically the same amount as Joseph. The time period probably allowed for a little inflation. Is very close to the same price. Basically the price of a slave in those times. And so you can see that the people around them did not value them to the same level that God did. God had a much higher value on each one of them. And just imagine how much different things would be if Joseph would have believed that he was worthless, that he didn't have a purpose. Jesus was constantly questioned. The Pharisees tried to throw at him accusations to try to create doubt, to question whether or not his purpose or his worth was what it actually was. Satan tried to get him to doubt God's authority, to doubt his plan for Jesus. And through it all, he stayed strong. And he knew, he was confident that he had the Heavenly Father's approval. He did not need people's approval. And that's what got him through. His knowledge and his confidence of this allowed him to reach out and to reach those who were struggling with their own doubt and insecurity. And I'd say just like they saw their worth in God's eyes, we also need to. A healthy self-worth will allow us to be an asset in the church family because we can focus on reaching out and helping others instead of being so focused on our frustration and our guilt of not attaining, of not being who we felt we could be. We can rest in the freedom of the righteousness that we have through Christ's blood. We can trust that God has a purpose and a plan for us. So now I would go back and ask that same question that I did in the beginning. What are you worth? Remember, in God's eyes, you are priceless. And my prayer is that this can be a reminder to each person that no matter how low you may feel, you are never too low for God to extend his loving arms to you and carry you through the hard times in life. Let's not forget that. As we go through this season in Easter and we're reminded of Jesus and his sacrifice, what he went through for us, he didn't go through it for nothing. He went through it for you and he went through it for me and all of humanity because we were worth that in his eyes. So don't ever forget that. Brian, do you have a closing song? Okay, in the Faith and Praise, number 130, if you stand and we'll pray, you can sing that. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just the reminder once again, Father, of just how much you love us. God, thank you so much for the fact that we can trust you and know that you care for us, even when we don't care for ourselves, when we don't like what we see, when we look at ourselves. God, we know that you care enough to forgive us. You care enough to show us mercy and grace. And I pray that you would help us to remember that so that we can show that same mercy and grace to those around us. Lord, may you just bless each one. May you keep us all in your hand. In Jesus' name, amen.